We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Has been sold to, unless I'm reading this wrong, Eldorado Resorts. But they're buying Caesars in a cash and stock deal valued at $17.3 billion. And that's that this says is going to create a casino giant. And that's going to put a lot of casinos together. And among the Harrah's locations that are involved, Harrah's Resort Atlantic City, Harrah's Laughlin Hotel and Casino, and Harrah's New Orleans Hotel and Casino for about $1.8 billion. So I don't know how that affects the deal they made with the state, or maybe they wanted to get that in place before Eldorado was interested, but I just thought I'd pass it along. 910 now, WWL. Over the weekend, Dave Bartholomew passed away. We know that Dr. John's funeral was also held, and we talked to Keith Spira about some of that, reporter for The Advocate, earlier when some of the other music legends, I guess, in New Orleans had passed away. And here we go with another one. Good morning, Keith.
Hey, Tommy.
For people that don't understand the influence that Dave Bartholomew had, not just on New Orleans music, but New Orleans music that was subsequently copied around the world, what would you tell them?
You know, he was arguably a co-founder of rock and roll. He developed that signature New Orleans sound that came out of here in the early 1950s that defined, you know, helped define rock and roll. It helped transition rhythm blues music to rock and roll. His sound had that big bass drum beat that became known as the Big Beat. And you heard it on Fats Domino records, but also on Smiley Lewis records and Lloyd Price records and all these other records that came out in the early 50s when New Orleans was really at the vanguard of the popular music scene. You know, that was the time when New Orleans was one of the hit-making capitals of the world because of all the great rhythm and blues and rock and roll coming out of here. And Dave was the guy that was shaping that sound in the studio. You know, he was a producer on the records. Producer on a record is kind of like a director on a movie. It's the person that kind of puts it all together and tinkers with things, with the arrangement, with the sound, to make it sound like it does. And Dave was one of the best at that ever.
So was it just something about the area that produced all of these people? Did they flock to this area for a reason?
No, it was all local guys, but there's just a distinctive sound that grew out of the musical heritage of the city. You know, all the things that have been coming in for the last, you know, 200 years, including, you know, percussion from Africa and brass instruments from Europe, you know, all that amalgamation that came together over the years produced people with a certain mindset, a certain feel for music, and Dave recognized that. You know, Dave came up playing jazz trumpet. He had a really good big band in the 1940s. That was one of the top bands around town. They all had, like, matching uniforms and monogrammed instruments and all this kind of cool stuff. But then he wanted to make hits. He wanted to make songs. So he became a talent scout for Imperial Records. And one of the first discoveries was Antoine Fats Domino, who was playing in a little club called The Hideaway in the Ninth Ward. And they signed Fats to Imperial. And in December 49, went in the Cosmo Matassa studio on North Rampart Street and cut The Fat Man, his first single. And from there, it was off and running. And, you know, all his Fats hits, with very few exceptions, were co-written by Dave. You know, it wasn't just Fats coming up with those songs on his own. Mm-hmm. Dave was the guy to help shape them into songs. You know, all kinds of stories about how their personalities were very different. You know, Fats was a little undisciplined and kind of, you know, lackadaisical and took his time, whereas Dave was very much the taskmaster in the studio. He was the guy that whipped the musicians into shape, that didn't take any, you know, BS in the studio. I mean, he made it all happen. He was the force of nature that kind of made those records come to be.
Some of the songs, I guess, and some of the other artists, Keith, that Dave Bartholomew was involved with, because it was not just Fats Domino, right?
No. He did. He wrote and produced Laudy Miss Claudy, the big hit for Lloyd Price. he wrote a song called One Night that other people call One Night of Sin. That was a huge hit for Elvis Presley. He wrote My Ding-a-Ling, which, you know, was Chuck Berry's biggest hit ever in 1972. But, you know, Dave wrote and recorded it in the 50s first.
Mm-hmm.
So his songs, you know, populated a lot of other artists' catalogs. And, you know, still to this day, I mean, Dave kept up with Billboard magazine well into his 90s. I mean, he was very into the business of music and was that way right up until the end. And his songs, you know, still generated a pretty substantial amount of royalties till now. I mean, because there were so many of them and they were so popular and infiltrated so many artist catalogs, and there were movies and commercials and all this stuff to this day.
It's amazing how, if you see some national car commercials, and I think the French beer, whose name doesn't resonate with me right now, where that you hear Ico Ico on these songs and so forth. There was that movie Meet the In-Laws, I think, where New Orleans music was prominently featured. Is all of that coming back now, or are people just discovering this?
I think it kind of waxes and wanes. You know, yeah, there was a commercial for, I think it was some sort of iPhone or something that aired during the Grammys year before last, and it had an old Meters song on it, which I'd never heard of a commercial before. So, I mean, yeah, these things, you know, music directors for commercials, they have certain tastes and they're fans of certain things. And sometimes, you know, that New Orleans stuff is considered really cool because it's, some of it's a little out of the way, a little more not as well known, but it's got this really cool vibe and energy that you don't get from music anywhere else. And so that's why they use it.
All right, let me take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about Dr. John and his funeral services that happened over the weekend. And I'll ask you again, when it comes to who's going to step up and take the place of these legendary people, Irma Thomas still with us, healthy. But these kind of performers, where's it going to come from? Or is New Orleans going to lose, or have we already lost our place in, shall we say, the nation's music? Keith Spira is our guest reporter for The Advocate, talking about Dave Bartholomew's death at 100 over the weekend, and kind of giving you a little history on New Orleans music and how we got to where we are today. Coming back in a flash, Tommy Tucker, WWL. 921, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Keith Spira about the death of Dave Bartholomew over the weekend. He lived to be 100 years old. I guess it's a good thing. I don't know if I'd want to live to be 100 or not. Keith, would you?
I guess it depends on what kind of shape I was in.
And what's going on at the time. That's exactly right. Tell me about, before we get to Dr. John, in terms of young piano players, are there some coming up here, or anybody that has the production ability of Dave Bartholomew and also the camaraderie? Because I think back in the day, like, we haven't even mentioned Benny Spellman. And look, I used to work oldies. That's how I know all of this. But Benny Spellman, Irma Thomas, they would take turns singing on each other's records, would they not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was definitely a community of musicians back in those days. It was very focused on, you know, around a couple of studios. Dave Bartholomew, as you say, produced a lot of those sessions. And then it was Alan Toussaint, who was kind of the successor to Dave in terms of the songwriting and producing mastermind of New Orleans. So yeah, there was very much a community. And I think that still exists now. It's just a little more diversified and a little more spread out. And New Orleans isn't producing the hits necessarily anymore like it did back in those days. But you still have a community of musicians that are that is unlike anywhere else.
So will we ever, are our better days behind us, or will we ever get back to where we were?
You know, it depends on how you define better days. You know, we're not going to produce the number of hits that we did back in the 50s and 60s just because music has changed so much. And, you know, now most hits are pop music and hip hop, which New Orleans certainly has a very vibrant hip hop community and has produced Lil Wayne and Frida and these other acts that have made a national impact. But it's not nearly the same sort of thing as what you had in the 50s, the same sort of pipeline to the top of the charts that existed back then. You know, that said, we've still got great bands coming out of here. Trombone Shorty's band tours nationally. The Revivalists had a couple of good-sized hits and tour nationally. You know, Ivan Neville's band, great band, Kermit Ruffins. So we still have these kind of great acts. It's just this is not necessarily the sort of stuff that ends up on the top of the national charts anymore.
Anything else you want to? Oh, Dr. John's funeral. I noticed some of the people that were there, and it, to me, indicated the far-ranging connections that he had and the far reach that his music had and personality.
Yeah, it was neat. I mean, you know, a few years ago, in 2014, there was the big tribute concert to him at the Sanger Theater, where he had people like Bruce Springsteen and John Fogerty singing his songs. But the funeral on Saturday, the memorial at the Orpheum Theater on Saturday, was very much a local endeavor. It was all local musicians playing his songs and local folks reminiscing about Dr. John. And yeah, you know, you saw evidence that the piano tradition is alive and well. You had guys like John Cleary and John Papagrow and Devel Crawford all playing Dr. John's songs on piano, and they all sounded great. So, you know, the tradition is alive and well, but you're never going to have a character, as Dr. John would say, quite like him ever again, I don't think.
I hate to put it this way, Keith, but, you know, I mentioned Irma Thomas, of that whole cadre back from back in the day. Who's left? I mean, we got Irma Thomas, Frogman Henry is still with us, I believe, right?
Yep, Frogman's still around. You know, Deacon John, who performed at Dr. John's service, still sounds great. He just celebrated, I think, his 77th birthday at Tipitina's this past weekend. You know, Cyril Neville is kind of from that era. He's still around. Art Neville is still with us, although he doesn't perform anymore. He's retired. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, that generation of New Orleans legends, you know, the ranks are getting pretty thin. And again, we'll never replicate that era. But we still have a lot of other folks that are doing great stuff up there, for sure.
I can't remember his name. Joe, the guy that did You Talk Too Much. Who was that? Do you remember?
Joe Jones,
yeah. I actually had the pleasure of meeting him one time, and he's got to be gone by now because he was very elderly then. But I asked him mm-hmm. who that song was about, and he said it was about his mother-in-law. So
Mother-in-law's inspired a lot of great music.
Yes, I'm not talking about Ernie Cato's mother-in-law. Y'all can look this up online. I'm talking about Joe Jones and You Talk Too Much, and I got that directly from his mouth, so I know it's true. Keith, anything you wanted to add before we let you go?
No, again, it's you know, it's just another sign you got to appreciate these artists when they're still here, because the time runs out. And again, we'll never replace Dave Bartholomew and Dr. John.
Thank you. I appreciate your time. Keith Spearer, reporter for The Advocate. You have a great day.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.